Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast for Friday, February the 10th, 2017. I hope folks are digging out of whatever snow they're digging out of. And anyway, fortunately, this time it's not on this part of the East Coast, but still quite the blizzard for our friend Sean Radican and folks further north. This is Elimination Chamber Weekend. What a weird name for a show. And anyway, we'll be joined in just a moment by Rich Fahn. Lots to talk about, and we will talk about those things. The number to call is, number to call here is 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, look forward to that. Wade Keller and I just did, just a few moments ago, a substantial chunk, I'm not sure exactly how much, but much more than an hour, or more than an hour's worth of Bruce Mitchell audio show for folks this weekend, previewing Elimination Chamber, talking about where things are going with WrestleMania and Fastlane, and going through all of that stuff, and some interesting conversation, to say the least. So I'd like to congratulate the Rock and Roll Express. I am doing this show and missing Ricky Morton in the Dorton Arena tonight, but such is life. I'm glad to see that they've got into the WWE Hall of Fame, because I think it's something, particularly Ricky Morton has the School of Morton and has, you know, a mainstay at the age of 60 working independent shows on this part of the country, and I think this will help him, and as far as financially, and I'm just, as I've been around him in the last several years, and just as I watched his career for many, many years, I'm very appreciative of the guy. I think I like the guy a lot in that he is what he is, which is a professional wrestler, and a Southern professional wrestler, and a babyface at that, and a master at selling, and all the rest of those things. They said it was pretty cool to see what WWE put together for him on Monday Night Raw. Let's join our friend Richard Fahn from Richard. How's it going?
Good, Bruce. How about you today?
I would think that things in the household are, I mean, I don't like want to get between a man and his wife and all that, but I would think that things in the household would really be doing well today. I know that I've been in a cheery mood all day.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I came home yesterday from a late-night program at my job. I work at Pitt, and my wife was jumping up and down in the window, and here I go thinking she's just so happy that I'm coming home, and I walk in, it's the end of the game. So, yeah, so it's happy. I mean, it's UNC and Duke and, you know, screaming, go to hell, Carolina, go to hell, and all that good stuff, and she's, you know, tried to get me to go to Krzyzewskiville and Tent, and I told her I wouldn't set foot in that
you need to do
campus.
That. Let me tell you something. You need to do that. I grew up over there. You need to do that. For folks who don't know, Mrs. Fahn was a Duke cheerleader, and so you need to take advantage of that and go. And that atmosphere, I had season tickets in the 70s when I was a kid. I spent over 10 years as an usher there at Cameron Indoor Stadium. There is nothing like it. You need to do that. I'm not right about a lot of things in this world, but that's one in particular. You got the cheerleader wife. Come on, you got to do that.
And I'm gonna try to save you from Wade's barbs later. Remember, it's Fan like the appliance with an extra N.
Did I go back to Fahn again?
Like
I thought I said
Fahn.
Fan.
Yeah.
I started with Fan,
and
I got back
Fan,
to
Fan, and then.
And then I went Mrs. Fan. Oh, God, oh, my. All right. I've been. Today was a good day, but it was also like a day where I just worked my tail off for like 12 hours. It was just like, get this done. So anyway, so that's no excuse. But anyway, all right. And I don't want to get Mrs. Fan mad at me, much less you. So that's true. But yeah, you need to take advantage of that. Take my word for it. If you ever do anything, do that. So, and particularly if you can do it for what was going on last night, Duke Carolina is what they say it is. That was something special. And this has been the wildest, craziest year of Duke basketball I've ever seen. And so that was nice last night. Maybe things are coming together finally.
I thought it was pretty neat, rivalry aside, that the UNC coaches wore the wristband in honor of the assistant Duke coach that's going through the illness or whatever issue he's dealing with.
Jeff Capel, his father,
like taking all that stuff.
Yeah, Jeff Capel's father. He was the head coach at Oklahoma, assistant coach at. He's the associate head coach at Duke now. His father, Jeff Capel Jr., who was an NBA coach and a coach at Old Dominion and a lot of different places, a very well respected coach, has ALS, which is, you know, just devastating. And it was really cool to see the community come together like that. And yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, I always look at this like it's, you know, it's Civil War, it's Armageddon and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a game. And so for all the other issues, it's a game. And so to see people come together and use that game to do some good is fine. I mean, it's a community, like any kind of sport, but particularly pretty close knit. So, got Elimination Chamber coming up. You want to make some, I did my predictions with Wade on the Torch Audio, for VIP members. Do you want to talk about where you see this going?
Sure. I still think it's going to be the at least the main event's going to be the fast train to getting Cena out of the championship picture and into whatever they're going to do with the mixed tag and getting Bray and Randy as the pair for that. I'm glad that they didn't go with the women's version of an Elimination Chamber and instead gave them three quality matches on the card. I think that's going to be really interesting to look at. At this point, I would have to assume that Mickey James is going to have to get the win over Becky Lynch, who's kind of in the Bayley role of the face that everyone beats, but hopefully that means something good down the road. I think the championship, I was on the fence up until she did the promo on Tuesday, but I'm all in on seeing Naomi walking into WrestleMania as the champion. And, you know, that only makes it better if Alexa Bliss or some heel beats her for it, because that's, you know, she got her wish, and then they can get their wish of having whomever they want with the belt. And then the Natalia Nikki Bella feud is just south of real enough that I don't feel like people are going to choke each other out as soon as the camera turns off, which is a very good thing for them, especially in light of all the issues Wade's mentioned in the last few months as far as saying one thing on TV and then doing another on social media. Did I miss anything? Yeah. Oh, the tag team turmoil. The turmoil match, I feel like they're just holding serve until either the revival get brought up or some other team, but that I have no idea why they're, other than, you know, if this was WrestleMania, I would get it because Vince has that everybody gets a medal sort of idea, but I don't get why you need all of those teams on this card.
Yeah, I don't either. I, you know, it's not even treading water. It's just, it's just time killing. And I don't think it. I think, you know, I'm sure the guys get paid more by being on the show. But aside from that, I don't think it helps anybody. I don't think you'd be better off. In other words, you'd be better off being off the show and then being put on a show where you had some purpose. I think there's. And I talked with Wade about this. I just think throughout all of wrestling, there's too many multi-team, multi-person matches. that fill space and don't have that meaning. And I don't think it, I don't, even though you can see, you know, a lot of spectacular stuff sometimes with it, I don't think the story gets told most of the time. And, you know, or anybody gets, you know, and also it's just this placeholder where you don't, no matter who wins and who loses, it's forgotten pretty quickly and no one benefits. I don't think that's, I don't think that's the greatest thing in the world to do. So let's we'll go to phone calls in just a second, right after we take this commercial timeout.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Let's go to our friend Darrell from Georgia. 97% of the calls, Darrell. Seriously?
Yep, I'm sure am.
Mm-hmm. That's
that
all
game
right.
was a travesty. Nice. That game was a travesty.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had a lot. I mean, got my breakfast paid for today. Had several. Had a lot of fun with it. So, yeah, travesty. There was a lot of. You had some friends that. Yeah, some of my friends would agree with you. Who cares? But yeah, it was great.
The magic of Coach K coming back. Okay, I guess that's what all that is, huh?
It's too bad. This particular show isn't on, you know, isn't on a video, so I could roll my eyes. So, what you got for us, wrestling wise?
Okay, I got two things I want to ask. First, I know with the main event of WrestleMania coming up, and people thinking that it might be Goldberg versus Brock, maybe for the Universal Title. My first question would be, if that happens. And that match doesn't tend to be quite entertaining or might become the match that they had at WrestleMania a few years ago or maybe even worse. What damage does that do to the Universal title as a whole than the gains that they think that it would do by having one of those two guys hold the title?
Rich, you want to take that first? I definitely have some opinions about that. It's a good question.
Sure. I would counter that with kind of like the Socratic method. Another question, what damage did Shawn Michaels giving the European title do to giving it to Triple H? What damage did Eric Bischoff do giving the big gold belt to Triple H? I mean, we're seeing a pattern here. What damage did the Universal title have inflicted on itself when the second champion was, again, Triple H related, given the title by Triple H? It's already... I don't know how much damage it could have done when it's already been, in my opinion, what's the right word? It's been corrupted. You know, I know we hear a lot about quote-unquote fake news, but, you know, to me, I know, and this sounds silly with pro wrestling, it's a fake belt. I don't respect it because it's just going to get given to the next person Triple H wants to give it to.
Well, to kind of take that in a little bit of a different direction, when I heard mm-hmm. Darrell's question, this is what I thought. I don't think the Universal title gets hurt by being in the main event of WrestleMania between the two biggest stars in the two biggest stars in professional wrestling, the number one babyface and the number one heel and the number one attraction in Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg. And Wade and I went through a lot, talked a lot about this just a few minutes ago for VIP members. But, I think by being in this big match with these big stars, the only two things that can really hurt it is if Bill Goldberg is starting to lose steam before he gets to WrestleMania and lose a substantial amount of steam. We haven't seen any evidence of that, and I'm really interested to see Fastlane with him and Kevin Owens. And yes, I think very much he's going to win the title. I also think that he should win the title, and it adds a little something extra to that main event, and also just, you know, Stephanie McMahon inspired him. You know he's going to win that title. But unless the match really stinks, it's such a different context than what was going on at their previous WrestleMania match. Both guys were leaving the company. Goldberg was not getting along with people in the company. Brock Lesnar was that, you know, exponentially and just there to do a match, and the fans knew it and crapped all over it. This is going to have a lot of atmosphere. It's going to have a lot of electricity, I think. And the challenge is getting through the match, you know, finally having a real match between the two, and real meaning several minutes long, that either Bill Goldberg wins again if everybody involved, and it's the creative side very much as Paul Heyman. Everybody involved thinks there's more in Bill Goldberg, but if there's if it's cooling off, then Brock Lesnar wins, and then what happens with Brock Lesnar having the Universal title? And does he turn around, as our friend over at ProWrestling.net, Jason Powell, suggested on Twitter this week, does Roman Reigns turn around the next night and get his long-awaited by Vince McMahon win over Brock Lesnar for the Universal title, and the final making of Roman Reigns, or does something else happen? I don't see that title gets hurt at all by any of this. I think it gets helped more than Triple H handing the title to Kevin Owens. I think these are major stars. I think that it isn't going to be that someone hands Brock Lesnar the title, someone hands Bill Goldberg the title. That's not how this is going to work. It's big stars. The quality of match is going to have to be controlled, you know, very carefully, but it can be done. And this is the main event of WrestleMania, and it should be the main event of WrestleMania. Darrell, I don't know if that's what you're in fact, I doubt that you're online with me or Rich about that, but anyway, that's how I see this stuff.
Oh no! I just wanted to ask that question. It's not that, because this was going to go into my next question. Because even though if that's the last match on WrestleMania, it's been a while since the last match of WrestleMania in my eyes really been the true main event of the whole show in the first place. So even if they win or something like that, no matter how they do it, and going off of what you was just saying about letting this be the crowning achievement, the stamp that finally gets Roman over, I don't see it as that way. I see it as the continual fall and maybe be the nail in the coffin on what maybe push away all a lot more of your hardcore.
Oh, I don't know that Roman Reigns is going to work. No, I don't know that this is going to work. I don't know that they're not going to turn Roman Reigns on Undertaker. That part of it, I don't see as clearly. That was something that, and I'm not, you know, I like the tweet. I think this more likely that Vince McMahon turns around and Vince McMahon goes through with building Brock Lesnar for all these years and has, you know, it doesn't give up on his guy until he, you know, seals the deal with having Roman Reigns beat him, and he may very well think that that's going to work, and that wouldn't happen at WrestleMania. That would happen the night after. I think, you know, at the end of WrestleMania, the main event of WrestleMania, whatever the last match is, the main event of WrestleMania is Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. It's the match that draws the money. It draws the eyeballs. It draws the it's the most, you know, it's the sexiest match on the show. And maybe it ends up with Brock Lesnar holding something up at the end of WrestleMania, or an angle where, you know, God knows. I don't think they do the angle with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania with that crowd. They may not do any of this, so because that international crowd's going to be at Monday Night Raw too. So, that's a lot in play, and I don't think, unless they have a real stinker of a match, there's a lot of smart people involved in, and it's WrestleMania, and they block out WrestleMania matches, and this is one that's going to need to be blocked out, and it needs to be short. And there's ways to do it. I don't think anything gets hurt here. The decision, if Vince McMahon is four square and continuing with Roman Reigns, that's where the hurdle comes. And how people react to that. But I'm Darrell. Appreciate the call.
I get that.
Yeah.
And I
go ahead.
I get that.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move to our friend Brian from Phoenix. Brian, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Rich. Hopefully you both have a real good night.
Thank you, sir. Happy anniversary week.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. This Bruce, this week is my 26th year anniversary of being a PW Torch VIP subscriber.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. I appreciate that. I really do.
And, well, as you know, Bruce, I'm sure you got one as well, but on my 25th anniversary, Wade was nice enough to send me a very nice-looking gift. And I'm pretty sure you got something as well when you passed your 25 years. But we can talk about that later.
No, he just made me do extra. I just had to do extra audio. I mean, no, it was, you know, nothing.
Oh, I forgot. I was not supposed to mention that. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Too late.
So, yeah, too late. So, what I'd like to actually, two things. First thing is going to be, I will be at the Elimination Chamber this Sunday.
Okay.
And it should be a good time had, by myself, with some of the friends I'm going with. Second thing I would like to mention, actually, this is more of a question. So within the last several months, speaking of editor-publisher Wade Keller, he's interviewed, let's say last week he interviewed Drew Galloway, and a couple months ago he interviewed Magnus, and of course talked about both of them, with Drew Galloway going back to WWE and Magnus joining WWE. Now, Magnus, of course, has maybe a better end now, especially that Mickie James has signed, and she's full-time on SmackDown. But my question for you, Bruce and Rich, is, what is your opinion? I mean, do you think that either one of those two or both or neither will show up? Let's say the Monday, Tuesday after WrestleMania the Monday or Tuesday after WrestleMania, SmackDown and Raw for either one of those two or both of them. What do you think?
Rich, take that.
Okay. I mentioned last week, I'm an unabashed Drew Galloway fan, and I would hope he would show up in the time, I would say the Monday or Tuesday after WrestleMania, because it depends really on what they want to do with either Raw or SmackDown in terms of putting him in as an impact player. I think as far as a big fish in a decent-sized pond, he might be better off fitting in a SmackDown. But in terms of Magnus, I don't know if they're going to want to play up his marriage to Mickie James too much. So I would be more inclined to say he'd be more likely to show up in the TNA, I guess I can't even say TNA South because they're both in Orlando. I'd say more likely to be in NXT than the main roster to begin.
Yeah, I think that, I think Drew Galloway is better than Magnus is at this point in his career, and Drew Galloway is a guy that you could bring to one of the main rosters and excuse the cliche, have an impact. He can talk, he's big, he can work. He's definitely got more of an R than he had. He's really worked on that. You know, he's really like, you know, that experience of doing it. And I think Magnus needs experience like that. I mean, we've seen him, and there are some things he has that are real positives, but he hasn't put together a whole, a whole three-dimensional main event character yet. And I don't know that the experience he's gotten in the last year or so, it really helps with that. So, I think Galloway could be. You have to look. You know, you have to also look at the UK expansion, and are these really would they benefit from that, or would it be more that they want more homegrown out of UK than guys have been more international and more, you know, more North America. Could it happen? I don't know where they stand with Drew Galloway. But if it just logically, you would think that he's been away from them and been, you know, the three man band and all that stuff has been gone for a long time, and I don't think that would really, you know, the fans would pigeonhole him anymore. So I think that if they're looking for those new acts, I think he's a good one to get. So I know this isn't very definitive, but we'll see. Brian.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys. And I let some other callers on the line. And I hope you both have a real good night and a real good weekend, Rich and Bruce.
Happy anniversary, Brian.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Let's go to 514. 514, welcome back to PW Torch Livecast.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Mark from Ontario. How are you guys tonight?
Okay, I'm writing this down right now. I had this long list, and I'm actually, because at the end of the night, I'll forget. So, Mark from Ontario. Go, Mark.
Great, thanks.
I know.
My question's about the Elimination Chamber and really the build-up to Mania. You know, I've only been listening to the Torch for about a year now, and recently VIP. And if I remember from last year, I mean, everybody was talking about, you know, tater tots and all this other damaged, you know, people and nonsense. And this year, it's really exciting because, you know, nobody knows or nobody seems to know what's going to happen, you know, with the top stars at Mania. So I guess my question for the Elimination Chamber is when does Cena get eliminated? And when does AJ get eliminated, and where does that lead going down the road?
Just for the sake of variety, I'll start with this. I don't know when Cena gets eliminated, and it seems to me, and reports are headed this way. Certainly, I don't know that it's been finalized, but Cena gets eliminated when Miz has something to do with Cena getting eliminated. And maybe Maryse and Nikki gets involved. Maybe not Sunday night, but down the line to lead to a mixed tag, and that's John Cena's WrestleMania. You know, that's his WrestleMania match, and so that to me the big suspense will be and they've even kind of talked about it with having Natalya this week, and they've done it before with Natalya saying, you know, I could have John Cena, you know, that does her man stand by her or not, and does this lead to some sort of storyline where John Cena and as Nikki Bella is retiring, do they get married? And, you know, there's a big WWE wedding with this and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be part of it. AJ Styles, I think he just loses. I think he just doesn't. You know, maybe he's in it at the end, although I would doubt it because if he's in it in the end, he's going to be a crowd favorite. And if he's not going to win, that's not what they want. And probably not what they want if he was going to win. So I don't know who eliminates him. I think that he ends up, unless it's something to do with Shane McMahon, God help us all. But I think, yeah, I mean, odds are he ends up wrestling Shane McMahon. Rich, you want to add to this?
Sure. I think if you're, in terms of eliminations, me spitballing, the one thing that stood out was perhaps if AJ was eliminated Cena with some shenanigans by The Miz, and then AJ himself was eliminated by Corbin, that would kind of continue everything on the path they kind of presented Tuesday without giving the fans too much false hope that AJ had a shot at winning. And then that would leave Miz and Bray and Dean Ambrose, which would be a good dynamic because you have two heels in a face and try to figure out how he's going to work his way out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That could definitely be there. Let's go to Chris from Queens, New York. Chris, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
There we go. All right. Thank you. This is my first time calling the Torch, but I'm a longtime friend of Rich Fan, and a few weeks ago he mentioned me being responsible for turning him on to the Bruce Mitchell Show. So I wanted to call and publicly apologize to you, Bruce, and Wade and Travis for bringing Richard to your lives.
Yeah, we've been trying to figure all that out.
At some point.
It's good to have friends,
yes,
isn't
I'm sorry.
It, Rich?
Oh, yeah, always good to have friends.
Yes.
And before I get my question, just two quick things. One, you know, Rich and I are both proud alums of the University of Pittsburgh, so it's very unlikely ever that I see Rich supporting Duke more than Pitt. I myself would, and Rich and I have talked about this, I would love to go to a game in Cameron. I've already been to games at Pitt and Albany and also the number one basketball arena in all of the country, which is Rupp Arena in Lexington. So it would be a great honor to go to there one day.
Yeah,
I think Bruce is choking on his tea at this point.
You know what, I've got
this
new...
Yeah, I threw that in for my...
I hope Wade doesn't edit that out because I just got this new contraption and now I'm supposed to, you know, hit the mute button. But that wasn't, I'm not hitting the mute button on that one. But yeah, we all love Kentucky, some of us. So,
I do, trust me.
Cool.
And also, lastly, you know, Rich and I, we met first day of college. He had a four horseman. Now, this is not the classic horseman. This is a Mongo horseman poster in his room. And, you know, the six of us from Pitt were very close. And I was fortunate enough to be in the 80s. I had cable, so I watched 605 TBS was a staple for me. But we made all of ourselves. We were going to be horsemen. And just to let you know the context, doing shows with Rich, Rich was Ole. So just to put that in, when you think of Rich, think of Ole Anderson.
That's all right. In that context, I'm all for Ole Anderson, so that's good. That's good. Mean and smart. I'm, you know, that's a good thing for a show like this.
And you can tell by what I'm saying that I was Tully. But anyway.
Ah, yes, yeah. Nobody liked Tully. Is that right, Rich? So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because Tully, you know, never admitted he quit. Never got the, you know, never always, he always let Arn and Ole catch the crap, and he gets to walk away looking good. So it fit. The dynamic definitely fit in our group.
So my question is, before I ever go into the bio, is, I guess, revolving AJ Styles. He obviously has had a tremendous year, and sort of the issue, and Rich and I have debated wrestling forever, and my, I guess, desire with the 80s more, is with all the big stars coming in, there hasn't been a focus on AJ Styles going forward. I see a future with him as a babyface, but I don't see a movement in that direction. I'm not a fan of the Shane McMahon match, but what do you guys think is the future for AJ Styles, and what would be the best way to get him to become a babyface?
Rich?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, I guess this would be more for the live, because Chris knows how I feel. When we went to WrestleMania last year, Chris was very dismayed that AJ signed because he thought he could do better for himself or without the WWE craziness. And I was just happy for him to be on the roster, be in America, close to his family. In the past year, he's done short of Kurt Angle or Ric Flair more in a year than I think any outsider that Vince hasn't had all of his finger on in my fandom. So that's, you know, 20 whatever years. So I think next year, going forward after WrestleMania, he's going to get that role where you hang in the cut as a top face, or I don't know what they're going to do with him. But I don't think he's going to be forgotten, because I especially as I've gotten older, the more you can make a Vince McMahon project look good, like AJ did with Roman, like AJ did with John, the more likely it is you'll stay around, because you can keep doing that for other projects. I call it the Chris Jericho rule. And I think he'll kind of be in the kind of waiting in the wings for whatever they're going to do. But I think for the first few months, he is going to be adrift. I kind of made my peace with that.
Yeah, I think that, it depends on, you know, does he wrestle Shane McMahon, or does he, I can't believe this. Anyway, Does he wrestle Shane McMahon, or does he wrestle someone else? But I think he's in really good shape, and I think that also he's going to naturally turn into a babyface, and I think it's already started because of the style of wrestling that he does and the fact that he is so good that people, after they watch for a while, even as a heel, and he hasn't quite got there yet, but first you've got the people that understand wrestling and like really appreciate a talent like that, then you've got other people just going, man, that guy is good, and yeah, he cheats and yeah, he's obnoxious and all that, but boy, you know and you, as time goes by, that familiarity really works towards being a babyface. So it's just a matter of John Cena not being around, another heel being strong, and then you can pull the trigger on AJ Styles. His correct way of speaking is going to hurt him as far as that goes. But I think that he's really kind of come through a lot of that. I think that just depending on at this age, does he stay as athletic and healthy as he's been in the last year? And yeah, I think in the modern era of wrestling, I don't think there's been anybody that's like, number one, you know, they haven't been allowed to come in and do that, but he also like proved himself at WrestleMania with with the program with Jericho to them, and you know, went from a guy that they wanted but they thought was too short and spoke the wrong way and didn't let talk and all that to like someone they really rely on. So I think he's got that chance to be not Roman Reigns or John Cena, but to be that top star guy that fills a lot of holes. And even different than Jericho, the way Jericho is the ring general who loses a lot, but you know, you can always count on. I think that AJ is going to be on a higher level than that because AJ is better. And I'm not taking anything away from Chris Jericho, but AJ is better at this point in his career than Jericho was. And so I think he's going to get a chance to get those main events. Where'd Chris go? Where did Chris go?
You may have hung up on him. He was the 516.
No, here he is. I'm sorry. I did not hang up on him. There he is. So, Chris, I apologize for that. I'm sorry. I'm running out of energy. But
it's okay. It's, I know not everybody from Duke is always thoughtful. I'm seen that before.
Yeah. Okay. I take it back. I'm glad I put you through that.
But,
and remember, Bruce, this is the gentleman who sold me on getting a Torch subscription because I had to hear you. Imagine if he didn't like you.
Yeah, I know. Good grief. So, you know what? I do notice that my unlikability spikes during basketball season. I have noticed that over the years. Not that it's not there all the time, but, you know.
And to be fair, Rich is not as big a college basketball fan as I am, so I definitely keep Rich informed of certain things in case he needs to bring it up to his wife or anyone else. So,
instigation.
Just to make sure he's aware of what's going on.
Yes, instigation. I see. Yeah.
But I'll wrap up by saying, you know, the WWE has a history of not using people as well as they were used in other places. So I'm very surprised that AJ Styles is doing so well. And I hope it continues. I've enjoyed listening to you guys, and I'm sure I will call again. And I hope the show continues going how it is. You guys have a good night.
Appreciate that.
All right, my friend.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Rich, welcome back. Trying to think of what else we... I do want to ask you this. And
sure.
Travis... filled the role of spokesperson for this kind of thing on Friday's livecast before. Is it that now Black History Month is only of interest of black people? I mean, I was watching Monday Night Raw, and the only people that commented on Jackie Robinson were African Americans. Is that where our society is now, or am I missing something here? And do you suppose... And it didn't seem like it was the most naturally written material I've seen wrestlers go through.
It definitely, I made the same comment on Monday. It's interesting to me that they chose the people they did for it. I actually joked with Travis and a couple of our buddies that I was waiting for the rising tale of a wrestler that was black that dared to touch his owner's arm once and suffered the penalties and then rose like a phoenix to become champion. And we were going to hear that story, but I don't quite think they got there. So
no.
When they're telling...
No, they did.
So when they're talking about... No, not at all. So it was really funny to me to see what they did and then to see on top of that, I know Dave Meltzer mentioned, 99 has been retired by hockey players. And I don't know if the writers intentionally left that out or assume black people don't like hockey, but that's another question I have. But altogether, it was just really just silly in terms of you could tell everyone was reading off a cue card off screen. And, you know, I was waiting for someone to blink twice to signal they're in danger or something like that. So
yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, I don't know if you've seen the ad for the new movie Get Out, where there's this black young man who's in this town, and I think he's the only person of color until he meets another person. And the guy's like, get out, and is unblinking and crying, and all these other weird things happen. So that's what I thought was going on. It was like the Stepford Wives. You have all these black automatons talking about the greatness of Black History Month and, you know, on the heels of MLK. And it's, you know, it does not touch the buttons I think they want it to, because I think Vince feels like he did good, just like he did with, you know, Jimmy Snuka, just like they did with any other time where they're kind of tone deaf. So
I just thought that was really tone deaf. Even if you're insincerely trying to, like, you know, promote brotherhood and tolerance and kind of how it would have been put in the 1960s, you wouldn't have had, you know, you've got, I would imagine, now, you know, it also is generations past, but it's that you would have some baseball fans that weren't people of color that would appreciate Jackie Robinson and would speak to that too. And maybe you would hope more convincingly than what happened there, but it was almost like here's this little ghetto for the people that are left who actually care about Black History Month or something. I just thought, I mean, tone deaf doesn't even begin to, like, what in the world was that? I mean, so anyway, I just and maybe I should, you know, maybe as I speak for Caucasians, I mean, maybe I should be the one explaining it, because I just thought, you know, what, you know, I always think that, you know, I always think that Vincent Mann proclaiming that Martin Luther King Jr. is his hero without ever showing it in any way is interesting enough, but, or showing it in different ways, but it's just, that was, you know, that was, I mean, it wasn't not knowing the history of one of the most famous presidents that we've ever had, and thinking that the man that debated him in those famous debates is still alive, you know, is alive and doing, you know, great things. You know, everybody loves him, or whatever it was that the president said. But this was strange. I really thought. I just thought that, like, some producer involved in it well before it got to Vince McMahon or whatever it is would say, hey, don't you want to, this is about diversity, don't you want to have some diversity here? Or, you know, don't you want to play, you know, just as a corporate, you know, as a corporate PR person, they would come up with that. So that was...
The thing I found ironic and funny about all of this is, and as you know, as a black man, you know, I realize the stuff going on in the country right now, and I actually, you know, wrestling is a great escape at times when things get crazy. But times like this, I think back, and it was only a few months ago when John Cena made that commercial. It's not lost on me that he went through another ad council to create the commercial when he's talking about the true face of America by the demographics.
Yeah,
WWE would never have made that with any cultural competency. And so for their lead guy to do that on his own speaks infinitely more to me about John Cena, the man, than it does WWE, the company that's making money off the man.
That's a really interesting point. I'd not thought about it in the terms of who he worked with. And that was, you know, that commercial was, I mean, that public service was on point, and particularly in these times. Let's go to our friend Jason in Australia, who now we're back on good terms with, I think, after last week. Jason, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
For now, Bruce. For now, we're on good terms. You never know what might happen in 24 hours or so.
This is true, but I think in 24 hours I'm going to be taking a nap, so I hopefully we'll be okay. So.
Well then, when you wake up, you might be in for a big surprise. So we'll see how things go. Anyway, hey, what I wanted to call up about was bring up a point that to say that I thoroughly agree with you what you're talking about, the Universal Championship with Goldberg and Lesnar. I'm generally reluctant to say that a championship needs like a certain wrestler to make it, because I always think it's the championship that should make the wrestler, not the other way around. You know, when you look at it, you know, the Patriots go for the Super Bowl. You know, they're aiming for the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl's not aiming for the Patriots to make the Super Bowl look better. It's all about that Super Bowl. It's all about that championship, and everyone strives for it. But where I like it is that I don't like the argument that, oh, Goldberg and Lesnar doesn't need a championship because it's big enough in itself. I think you want that championship to mean something. So I agree with what you're saying. The other thing is, if Lesnar does beat Goldberg, I'll go along with what Jason says. It's another point. I think everything for the next year sort of, and this might be a strong statement, but for me, everything lives and dies by what they're going to do with Roman Reigns. I like the idea of Reigns getting that win over Undertaker, coming out the next night, maybe challenging an overconfident Lesnar for the championship. You know, you could have Heyman out there with Lesnar. Lesnar's on top of the world. He's gotten rid of the demons. He's defeated Goldberg. Reigns challenged him for that title. And before Heyman can say anything, Lesnar's first two words for the whole night is, "I accept." You know, because Lesnar's so confident. And then maybe Reigns beats him, and there's your new Universal Champion. But I only like that if then Reigns starts to get a bit more arrogant, but he's also dominant. I think there's money in a full-time Roman Reigns being a Brock Lesnar-type character as a heel, and he's dominating the competition. Because I like what they did on SmackDown a few years ago when you had Mark Henry, who was confident, he was arrogant, and he was dominating people. And if you go back and look at the ratings actually increased with Mark Henry as that type of heel, as a champion. And I think he can do the same with Reigns. If he turns heel, I don't want him to be that sort of chicken shit heel who backs away and is too confident, you know, and backs away from things. I want him to be confident. I want him to be arrogant, but I want him to be dominating. So I think there's a lot of money in that character, and I think that's a route they can go down. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the heel that, I mean, that's one of the heel characters, not just the chicken, but the guy who's dominating and arrogant and a little scary, that, you know, that can snap and hurt somebody and is a bully, and then who can take him down? Hell, it's Brock Lesnar. That's Brock Lesnar's character. So if Roman Reigns could switch over to that, that's not... And then you have a new matchup in Roman Reigns' heel like that, and Brock Lesnar, you know, the new bully, the old bully becomes the hero, and you can do something with that. I mean, if Roman Reigns was ever going to make it as the face of the company, that would be when he did. And I wouldn't like say it's not possible. But it would depend a lot on the next several months and how everything goes with Undertaker, and if Undertaker can have a credible performance. You know, we talk about Bill Goldberg in the ring. Undertaker is hurting. Undertaker has you know his hip is really bothering him, and he's already had some surgery, and he's to get the full hip replaced. It's going to end even his WrestleMania career. So he didn't look, you know, they didn't have him do much of anything at the Royal Rumble, and he didn't look good. So we'll see where all that goes. But Lord, you know, the other thing is, if you're going to bet, you would bet that Roman Reigns still beating Brock Lesnar. And then the night after WrestleMania is going to be that international Raw crowd. You know, will they buy into, like, this is the big moment, I'm going to just go with the big moment, or will they push back even harder against Roman Reigns? In which case, you've wasted an awful lot of, you know, it's a hell of a gamble. You've wasted an awful lot of currency with Brock Lesnar and with Undertaker and with Bill Goldberg and all that to get Roman Reigns over, and then it doesn't happen, and then you can't do it again. So, it's those things are, you know, those things are more than just interesting. Rich?
I'm with you on all those points. I think especially last year when I went to the Raw after WrestleMania, I texted my buddies. It was about 2 hours before the show, and the international crowd had already started chanting and getting crowds as they were coming in to chant. And so that crowd's going to determine how Roman Reigns and how some of those other things they do that night are going to be interpreted, because there's so many people that show up. And just like at a good soccer match, or you know, I don't want to be ignorant to just presume rugby for you, Jason, but at a good sporting event, if you have that network of the ultras that can kind of get everyone else going, or even a political thing with the people who whip the crowd into a frenzy, the whips, literally, those guys are going to be, they better have their finger on the pulse of how they're going to react, because otherwise, if they are tone deaf again, their magic word, if they're tone deaf again when it comes to anything involving Roman Reigns, I don't care how much sweetening you do to that stadium, or that arena, rather. It's going to sound bad, and it's going to look bad if he's not aligned with the reaction of the crowd.
Well, I guess my thing is that what I laid out only works as if they decide to go with Roman Reigns as that dominating heel, where he sort of morphs into a full-time version of Brock Lesnar. Like Bruce, you said, he's the full-time bully. That doesn't, like, Roman Reigns can be the face of the company, in my opinion, as a dominating heel. Because then you set up an underdog, you know, a Sami Zayn against a Roman Reigns. Maybe you turn Kevin Owens into a babyface, and you've got the Fight Owens Fight babyface up against the dominant heel Reigns. It sets yourself up with a SummerSlam match, perhaps against Goldberg if he wants that, or a Kurt Angle. I just think there's a lot of money in a dominant heel Roman Reigns coming out of WrestleMania with a win against The Undertaker and a win against Lesnar. But if they're going to go down the path of pushing him as a babyface, that is just completely tone deaf. But what I find interesting, and I wanted to raise this point last week, is that, see, obviously this is not like a new statement, but McMahon confuses me. So quite clearly, he's trying to push Roman Reigns as a babyface. He's doing all these things. That's on one half of the brain. Yet the other half of the brain realizes that in order for Randy Orton to get over as the winner of the Royal Rumble, he needs to be in against Roman Reigns, so the crowd accepts that. So one half of the brain is trying to push him as a babyface, but the other half is saying, no, I need to put him as the last guy against Orton so people accept Orton and they blow the roof off when he wins, because we know if it's Reigns against Orton or Reigns against anyone, the crowd's going to cheer the other person. So how does McMahon not see this? It seems like he's a bit confused. He recognizes one thing but doesn't recognize the other.
Well, he might have gotten talked into one of them. You know, and what I'm talking about is Reigns at 30, and then, you know, well, we've got this great plan. I'm just speculating and with no real insight. You know, one of the things that was interesting about, and I didn't think it was the best 30-30 ESPN documentary I ever saw, but particularly to have Ebersol's kid do it, Ebersol's son do it. But the special on the XFL and seeing Vince McMahon during, you know, at the beginning of the new millennium with the XFL, and then seeing him today, where he is and how consistent he is and how consistent he's not, you know, is definitely something that's there. The problem with him, the problem with Roman Reigns being even at a really successful level as the heel bully champion, that would solve the wrestling part of the equation, but WWE as a corporation is looking for that good-looking, impressive, you know, guy that can go to the corporate events and that can go on television and do all those type of things and you know, do all the things that John Cena does and can sell the merchandise and be that kind of positive face of the company. The thing, when I'm listening to you, Jason, talk about that, and it goes to what Wade has been just, you know, killing on, is would they then think, okay, we got Roman Reigns over as this bully heel that, and we've got a lead heel as the top guy in the company, and then he's really friendly on the Today Show. Because, you know, after all, he's an actor. Do they play it that way? And in which case, I don't see how any of that works. But yeah, that's it would be interesting. Whatever, you know, where Roman Reigns goes is going to be, you know, it's been a big story. It's going to continue to be a big story as far as like where WWE goes.
We'll see. Well, see, in my opinion, like, I don't see why Seth Rollins couldn't do that. You know, Seth Rollins speaks well, articulate. I don't see why he can't play the role of Roman Reigns. Maybe you've got like a combination. You've got, you know, Sami Zayn, Arabic background, goes on there, talks about diversity, opening up to a new audience. Then there's also the possibility you could turn Rusev. Rusev, I think, handles himself very well as well. Once again, coming from a different background. I don't think Roman Reigns is the guy for that particular role. I mean, I know he looks the part, but when I've listened to him, and I've got nothing against him, I think there's other guys that could do a better job in that role and actually bring more to the table. If you're going to go down a path of promoting yourself as diverse and worldly and all the rest of it, actually have superstars in that company that can do that. So I wouldn't be too concerned personally, but I see what you're saying. They could definitely think, well, we need the complete package. But, you know, he's simply not cutting it. Just one quick point on the Elimination Chamber. Bruce, Rich, are you serious? I haven't asked you this, but that's what you're hearing behind the scenes. They're going to do a mixed tag match at WrestleMania with John Cena and The Miz. I mean, is this actually going to happen?
Rich, take that, and I will after that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to preface. I've read this. I haven't heard. I don't have sources or anything like that. But, yeah, Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maurice. And to me, that seems to be, given the fact that Cena is the Elder Statesman, kind of a waste of one of his last remaining bullets in the gun, so to speak. But, and I can tell you this as a married man, there are certain situations where you just have to take the loss. And I think this is a case of John taking the loss.
Yeah, you need to be a Duke fan. That's exactly right. You need to be a Duke fan.
Oh,
I don't care where you went to school.
There's taking the loss and there's being insane. Bruce, I went to the, just quick aside, I went to the Texas A&M Duke bowl game a few years ago. Fans were chanting more than double at Johnny Football and Texas A&M at halftime, I went, bought a Texas A&M shirt, and howled with laughter as I was in the Duke alum section and Texas A&M came back. That is the level to which I will not join the assimilation crew there in that regard. But with terms of John Cena, I mean, if this is Nikki's last hurrah, or at least last hurrah before she goes part-time like he is, this is, it's safe. I can't really fight it. And for The Miz, if anything, I would take it as a compliment as being one of those guys you mentioned, Jason. He goes around the world doing all these promos, doing all those, shaking hands, kissing babies, opening up restaurants, going on talk shows. Miz has done the lion's share of the work John Cena doesn't. And I think, and, you know, Bruce can correct me on this, as much as they want Roman to be the ethnically ambiguous face of the company, he does not acquit himself well when he's put in those roles. And Miz has.
Exactly.
I mean, he's done that for almost 5 years. And I think the problem with someone like Sami Zayn is, I was just listening to Talk Is Jericho, and I've heard five wrestlers now say in various podcasts, the first thing you know about Sami Zayn is you hate his guts the first time you talk to him. And then he grows on you. So I don't think most of the stuff we see on TV is, you know, being made up. A lot of what they're doing now with him is kind of a reflection of how people legitimately feel about him in the back. So I think there's landmines to navigate when it comes to being the face of the company. And I've always been an advocate for faces of the company, because that way, if you need that pretty face, you got this person. If you need the wrestling fans wrestler, you got this person. If you need the person that can go on the morning zoo and kitsch and kebab with everybody, you get this other guy. But if you want everything in one, it's kind of like with quarterbacks, you're never going to find that perfect guy. Just be happy with what you have and make do, or you're going to drive yourself nuts.
The one thing about this, yeah, and I think this match is going to happen. One thing to remember about it is a couple things to remember about it is, and some of this is my speculation, but there's been a storyline on Total Divas and Total Bellas with
right.
The Bellas for years, and that's what's made Nikki Bella, as much as anything, is that storyline, and the storyline has turned into, will John Cena marry Nikki Bella? And so WWE has not, you know, for years they would, every year or so, maybe even a shorter period of time than that, they would do some sort of scripted storyline about a wedding, because the weddings would get ratings. If John Cena has this match with Nikki Bella and against Maurice and Miz, and then at WrestleMania John Cena turns around and pops the question, then you've got this story that's, number one, wrestling fans might go for it, because when Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, whose marriage was in tatters, they did the angle. You know, there's fans that cried. People like really liked it. They were really into it, all that stuff. And you've had even more than Randy and Miss Elizabeth of a media conglomerate really pushing a romance and pushing, you know, will he or won't he and all that. So you get the happy ending, And then you can do the special event with the marriage, and Nikki Bella can, you know, who's physically is not going to be able to stand up to wrestling much longer. She can go off into the sunset as, you know, with the happy ending, and John Cena can, you know, the one thing John Cena's missing in his mainstream celebrityhood is the more traditional family life. And I just remember, I talked about this a while back, but I just remember catching him on the Today Show several months ago, and they were the hosts were talking about raising kids and all, you know, and the experience they had in telling funny stories and all that. And John Cena was sitting there with this big grin on his face because he had nothing to add to that. If he wants to be mainstream Michael Strahan, and do that type of work, he's going to need, you know, he's going to need that. Now, whether he, you know, if he's turning, you know, I don't know where they are personally, and anything with reality television, professional wrestling and marriage and couples, you know, just following the business for all these years, really makes you suspicious. But, you know, it seems to me like everything's in place more than just to have a mixed tag to mollify, you know, John Cena. You could just do that. If that's all they were going to do, you know, John Cena and his girlfriend, if that's all they were going to do, they could put it on a B show, you know, easily.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. And, I mean, just on a side note, in relation to what else they're doing at the Chamber, I mean, I see it coming down to AJ Styles versus Bray Wyatt as the final two. I think another important thing they need to navigate is when they pull the trigger on an AJ Styles babyface turn, because, you know, we saw it with Seth. He came back, the crowd was willing to get behind him, but he kept shoving it back in their face. And now he's come back as a babyface, but he hasn't really picked up that momentum he would have had compared to what if he would have turned babyface after Extreme Rules or that pay-per-view when he came back and attacked Reigns. You look at AJ Styles, Bruce and Rich, I look at the situation and think, do they leave it too long? Does he keep throwing it back in the fans' face before they get along with him? Maybe you have him in the final two against Bray Wyatt. He gets screwed. The crowd is chanting AJ Styles. They're getting behind him. Where do you think they should pull the trigger on that AJ Styles face turn? Because, like I said, I don't want to leave that too long for his sake. And just to go back to that Cena point, Bruce, I said this to you on Twitter. I say it as a joke, but not so jokingly. I've got one word to describe that marriage. Hack. Hack. He's got to think hack, Cena. It's already cost him before. It might cost him again. You can't get married and have kids just to make it on the Today Show. It's got to be more authentic than that. And if he ain't feeling it, he ain't feeling it. Don't do it for storyline. Don't do it for the Today
Show. Where's your sense of show business? Where's your? I mean, I grew up watching Sonny and Cher do the Sonny and Cher show when they were divorced. Of course, it bombed, but still, I mean, where's your sense of show business? You know, the show must go on. As far as AJ Styles, I think I don't think they're ready to do that yet, and they're going to do what they're doing with Randy Orton for a while. But yeah, I think 6 months to a year. That's, you know, maybe more like 6 months. That's you know, that's where you go with that. There was something else you asked me about too.
The AJ Styles babyface turn. But also, I guess with the whole Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton storyline, I thought Luke Harper would have came out of this as a heel, you know, as that Bruce Brody-type dominant heel on SmackDown, if you like. He could have done that with him. I thought the storyline was always going to be that he was very cautious of Orton and he never trusted him. So say if we do go to WrestleMania and it is Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt, well, clearly, if Bray wins the title, he's going to think to himself, well, Orton's just going to lay down for me. You know, I've got this set up. So is that when Orton turns on Wyatt? What happens with Harper? Is that the way you see it playing out, that Orton got Bray Wyatt in the situation to begin with? Is that how you think they're going to tell the story?
I think there's several ways to take it. One of them is that Randy Orton was the double secret agent that, you know, went in undercover and outdid the manipulator, and that's, you know, and that's where this goes. And then where does Luke Harper stand in this, I think, is interesting. I mean, I think they've done a good job of playing back and forth with this. So I would have liked to have seen them you know, say something like Randy Orton can choose more than can choose more with winning the Royal Rumble than a SmackDown not SmackDown title shot, but a WWE title shot, just to have it out there that if Bray Wyatt wins, then the title's in the family, and Orton doesn't have to use that to challenge him, so that when he does, it's there. But no, I don't think they go to WrestleMania and he thinks he's going to lay down. I think by the time you get to the last few weeks of WrestleMania hype, you want them at each other's throats. And then Luke Harper, I've been kind of disappointed in how he's used, because I think I was hoping he'd be a little more, you know, I don't think he can be, there's nobody going to be Bruiser Brody as far as being pushed the way Bruiser Brody was and protected the way Bruiser Brody was with WWE, but, or anybody else. But you know, I was hoping for more from Harper, and I still think there's some, you know, still think there's some potential there. So guys, appreciate the content, appreciate discussion. Jason, hope the snow is doing all right down there in Australia now, and like it is on the East Coast, upper part of the East Coast here. And Rich, I know exactly what you mean. I have done a lot of what you've done, only it's been in the midst of a lot of Tar Heel fans. So you're just misguided. But I certainly have a little bit of respect for it. Not a ton, but a little bit of respect for it. So
well, that's fair.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that's fair. I just think with Duke, before I married my wife, I didn't particularly have much affection for Duke. It's not like I'm a North Carolina fan or anything like that, but you know, now that Pitt and Duke are in the same conference, it only makes it easier.
Yeah. By the way, those two seniors, man, they played their tails off last Saturday. That was like, I had a lot of that's a very good team at the bottom of the conference. I mean, they're dangerous. I mean, that was you know, could have come out of that week beating Duke and Carolina easily. So that was
yeah, it was one of those things where they have to figure out. I think the coach, the previous athletic director, used a friend's hiring committee to hire a friend, and then he left.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's a weird situation. And it, you know, Jamie Dixon was an excellent coach. And again, wrestling fans probably don't want to care about this, but at the end of the day, it's, we're in flux, and I'm fine with that. It's right. Just they have to find their way. Once they do that, I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's pretty logical. That's pretty much the way it goes. All right, don't forget to listen to Wade Keller Daily Audio, Bruce Mitchell Audio Shows. We've just taped at least one. Maybe part of two. I don't know. But anyway, it depends on how Wade cuts it out. But should be up for everybody in another hour. And then, of course, Elimination Chamber on Sunday. Lots of content to listen to.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/goVIP.
Not